إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as we approach the final days of these sittings in the morning after Fajr, I'd like to discuss a topic in brief that we have been talking about in the class on Jumu'ah that is related to al-Iman bil-Qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi, yani the divine pre-decree of Allah, it's good and it's evil, yani that which the people are pleased with and that which the people are displeased with. And from amongst the topics that probably we will not discuss in any detail in the class is the classifications of the people or the categories of the people in reference to how they view the Qadr of Allah and the difference between Allah's action of decreeing and that which happens as a result of His action. Yani Allah's action, al-qada, the qada of Allah, is one thing. And what results from His action, the thing that occurs, is another matter altogether. And distinguishing between the two of these and how the Muslim is viewed based on the way he sees these matters, or how he reacts or responds, or whether or not he accepts them or not. So, yani the Shaykh, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in two fatwa that we have here, has discussed this issue in some detail. And when I say detail, I mean not lengthy detail, but he has explained some of the details of it, so that it becomes clear to us what's the difference between one matter and the other, and what are the different responses of the people in reference to what Allah has decreed. So hopefully, inshallah, this will be of some benefit and clarification of this matter that probably, yani, we will not find a lot of discussion concerning this matter, yani, in general readings. So, the first issue is the ruling concerning being pleased with the Qadr of Allah. Being pleased with the Qadr of Allah. Yani the questioner asks, مَا حُكْمُ الرِّضَى بِالْقَدَرِ نَفَعَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ وَبِأُلُومِكُمْ. Yani what is the ruling concerning being pleased with the Qadr of Allah? Yani, is it mandatory that a person be pleased with the Qadr of Allah? And what does this actually mean? Does it mean being pleased with Allah's action of decreeing the thing that happened? And not necessarily being pleased with the result of His decreeing it. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that a calamity befalls someone. That's by Allah's decree. So, there's a difference between being pleased with the fact that Allah has decreed this, that's Allah's action, and being pleased with the calamity itself that results from Allah's decree. There's a difference between the two. And we, inshallah, today will discuss this, yani, with some detail. So the Shaykh says, what is the ruling concerning being pleased with the questioner asks, what is the ruling concerning being pleased with the divine pre-decree of Allah, and may Allah benefit by you and by your knowledge, and He benefit us and the people. So the Shaykh answered by saying, "Al-Ridha bil-Qadri wajibun." Yani being pleased with Allah's pre-decree is wajib, obligatory. Yani Allah has decreed something, it's obligatory that we be pleased with the fact that He has decreed. لأنه من تمام الرضا بربوبية الله. The reason why it's obligatory to be pleased with Allah's pre-decree is because being pleased with Allah's decree is from the completion and the perfection of being pleased with His rububiyyah, with the fact that He is our Rabb, and He is the one who decides the matters in the universe, in our lives individually, and in everything that happens in this universe. And being pleased with Allah's decree is part of being pleased with Allah's rububiyyah. So it is obligatory upon every mu'min to be pleased with the qada of Allah, yani what Allah has executed and caused to occur based upon His pre-decree. However, al-maqdi huwa alladhi fihi tafsil, yani being pleased with Allah's qada is wajib. But as far as that which occurs as a result of His decision to decree and to execute His decree, yani the resultant occurrence that takes place requires some discussion. Yani there is some explanation and we have to look at it in detail. The qada is the action of Allah. The maqdi is what occurs as a result of Allah's decreeing. And he said, the maqdi, the thing that occurs as a result of Allah's decision for something to occur, to take place, and then executing His decision, the thing that actually occurs, the maqdi, requires some detailed discussion. So the Shaykh says here that the maqdi is different than the qada. And this is because the qada is the fi'l of Allah, is Allah's action. And the maqdi is the maf'ool of Allah, yani is the thing that occurs as a result of Allah's action. And the two are different. So the qada, yani that which is the action of Allah, it is obligatory to be pleased with it. And it is not permissible in any situation or circumstance to be displeased with Allah's action of decreeing. There's no situation or circumstance in which it is allowed for a person to express displeasure with Allah's action of decreeing whatever He has decreed and executing His decree. As far as the maqdi, the thing that occurs as a result of Allah's decision for something to happen, then it is divided into divisions. The first division is that which it is and that which it is obligatory to be pleased with it. Yani there's some maqdi, something that occurs by Allah's pre-decree, and when it occurs, it's obligatory for us to be pleased with it. Yani there's no escape from it. Yani to be pleased with the fact that Allah has decreed it, and to be pleased with the thing that occurs. That's obligatory. That's one type of maqdi. Yani something that happens as a result of Allah's decree. One division of it is that which is obligatory for us to be pleased with. The second division is that which it is haram to be pleased with it. Now again, we're saying haram to be pleased with the maqdi, not the qada. The qada is Allah's action. It's obligatory to be pleased with that. We're talking now about the maqdi, the thing that occurs as a result of Allah's decree. There's something that occurs which is obligatory to be pleased with, and there's a different category that when it occurs, it's haram to be pleased with it. And the Shaykh will explain it, but just so that it doesn't cause confusion, it's obligatory to be pleased with actions of obedience to Allah. If a person does an act of obedience to Allah, it's obligatory to be pleased with this. It's by Allah's decree. If a person does an action of disobedience to Allah, commits a sin, it's not permissible to be pleased with this. Yani, it's obligatory to be pleased with the fact that Allah has decreed everything that happens. But it's not obligatory to be pleased with the fact that a person has disobeyed Allah. that they have done an act of disobedience. That action, which results as is the result of Allah's decree, the action of disobedience, is haram to be pleased with this. And a person commits a sin and says, this is by the decree of Allah. Yes, it's by the decree of Allah, but it's also by your choice to disobey Him, and this is something that you cannot be pleased with. And the third division is مَا يَسْتَحِبُّ وَالرِّضَى بِهِ, يعني that which occurs, and it is مُسْتَحَبْ, يعني it is beloved or commendable or praiseworthy to be pleased with it. Okay, so we have three divisions of the things that occur as a result of Allah's pre-decree and His executing His pre-decree. There are three divisions. One thing, when it happens, once it occurs, and an act of obedience, it's obligatory to be pleased with it. Another thing occurs, and a sin, an act of disobedience, is haram to be pleased with it. And the third thing is mustahab to be pleased with it, and that is the calamities that befall us that we don't like, the things that we don't like. But it's mustahab that we should be pleased with the calamities that Allah has decreed to befall us. Mustahab. Mustahab. Meaning it's better that you be pleased with it than that you be displeased with it. Now the Shaykh explains. For example, sins are from the result of what Allah has decreed. Yani Allah has decreed that some people are going to be obedient to Him and some people are going to be disobedient to Him. So when a person commits a sin, this is from that which Allah has pre-decreed and yani caused it to occur. That doesn't mean that the person is not responsible for their actions, but it means that it's from Allah's decree. It's from His qadr and His qadha. Yani He pre-decreed it and He caused it to happen. And nothing happens except by the decree of Allah. So the Shaykh said that sins are from that which is from the maqdiyat, those things that occur by the pre-decree of Allah. And it is haram to be pleased with sins, even though it occurs by the qadha of Allah. So whoever looks at sins from the perspective that it is the qadha of Allah, meaning that which is the action of Allah, His action of decreeing something. Whoever looks at it from that perspective, that it is the qadha of Allah, His action, it's obligatory for us to be pleased with it and to say, indeed, Allah the Most High is Hakim. And He is Hakim. And if it was not for the fact that Allah's wisdom dictate this thing to happen, it would never have occurred. And we say nothing happens except by the will of Allah. So, from the perspective of it being the action of Allah, His action of pre-decreeing, then it is obligatory to be pleased with this. And to recognize the reality that it didn't happen except based upon wisdom, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as from the perspective of the maqdi, the thing that actually occurs, and here we're talking about what? We're talking about sin, disobedience to Allah, the sin of a person. This is from the action of the human being. Yani the pre-decree, that's from the action of Allah. The sin itself is from the action of the human being. So in this, from this perspective, from the perspective of the maqdi, the thing that occurred, that is the sin, the disobedience of Allah, the action of the human being, it is obligatory that we not be pleased with it. It's obligatory that we not be pleased with it. And it is obligatory upon us to make every effort to remove this sin from ourselves and from other than ourselves. Yani to prevent, to stop, to restrain ourselves from sinning, and also to attempt, if we have the ability, to restrain others from acts of disobedience to Allah. So this is one division of the maqdiyat, yani the things that actually occur. The qadha is the action of Allah, the thing that occurs, the act of sin, is the action of the human being. As far as Allah's action of decreeing it, we must be pleased with it. As far as the action of the human being of committing sin, it's haram to be pleased with this. It's haram to be pleased with the action of the human being of disobedience to Allah. The second division from the maqdi, the things that occur as a result of Allah's pre-decree and executing His decree, the second division is that which it is obligatory to be pleased with it. An example of this is the thing that Allah has made obligatory on us. Yani, obligations in Islam, acts of obedience to Allah. If a person fulfills a command of Allah and does an act of obedience, it is obligatory for us. When we see that action occur, it's obligatory to be pleased with it. Because it is from what Allah has legislated and commanded us with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided this in His universal will. And He has also decided this in His legislative will. Yani, according to His irada qawniya and His irada shara'iyya. And His irada qawniya, Allah, yani meaning the will of Allah, that when Allah wills something, it must happen. So in this case, what Allah willed that must happen is an act of obedience. So that's from His irada qawniya, in that he decided that it must happen. And it's from His irada shara'iyya, His legislative will, in that He also legislated this in the Quran, that a person do this act, or in the sunnah, that a person do this act of obedience, like salat or zakat or siyam or being truthful or whatever. So it's obligatory to be pleased with this type of maqdi, this action that occurs, the actions of obedience, both because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided in His universal will that it must happen, and He also legislated in His law, in the Sharia, that people should do it. So when it occurs, we must be pleased with it. So the Shaykh says we must be pleased with it from the perspective that it is the qada, action of Allah, and from the perspective that it is the maqdi, the thing that occurs from the actions of the human beings. And if it is an act of obedience. So these first two types are that which we must be pleased with and that which it is haram to be pleased with. We must be pleased with acts of obedience when they occur, and it's haram to be pleased with actions of disobedience when they occur. The third division is that which it is mustahab to be pleased with it, and it is obligatory to be patient with it. Now the Shaykh is saying two things here. The third division, and he's talking about the calamities when they befall us, he's saying that it is mustahab that we be pleased with it. So if a person can do it, it's commendable, it's praiseworthy. But if they are not pleased with it, at least it's mandatory, wajib, to be patient with it. That's the minimum. That a calamity befalls a person, the minimum requirement is that they must be patient with it. But what's better than that, if they are able and it's mustahab, is that they be pleased with it. And here the Shaykh said he's talking about in this category, that which occurs of calamities, afflictions. So whatever occurs of the calamities, and whatever befalls the people of calamities or afflictions, it is mustahab, it's commendable, praiseworthy, to be pleased with it, according to most of the scholars. Yani, there's difference of opinion concerning this. The Shaykh is saying most of the scholars say that when calamities befall a believer, it's commendable, praiseworthy, mustahab. Yani, not obligatory, but it's mustahab. It's better if you would be pleased with it. But it is not obligatory to be pleased with it. Yani, that which is mustahab is the things that is love to Allah. He has not made it obligatory upon us, but whoever does it, it is something pleasing to Allah. So it's better if you're able to do it, even though it's not obligatory. But what is obligatory is that you at least be patient with it. And the difference between being patient, as-sabr, and being pleased, ar-riba, is that the patience, the one that is patient, or being patient with the calamity, means that the person doesn't like the fact that it has occurred. He doesn't like it. He hates it that this thing has occurred, that his hand, yani, got cut off, or that he lost his child, or that he lost his wealth. He doesn't like this. He's displeased with this. He hates that it happens. But even though he doesn't like that it happens, he doesn't do anything, and he doesn't react to it in a way that is contrary to the Sharia of Allah, and in a way that negates being patient. And he doesn't like it, but he remains patient with it. He doesn't shout and scream and curse and complain against Allah's decree. He's patient with it. He bears it patiently, even though he doesn't like it. So this is the meaning of being patient. As far as being pleased, that's different. The one who is pleased with what Allah has decreed, the calamities and disasters and afflictions, the one who is pleased, he doesn't dislike its occurrence. He doesn't dislike the occurrence of the calamity. To him, the fact of it occurring or not occurring is all the same. As opposed to the one who's patient, it's not the same. If it didn't happen, he would have been more happy. He's not happy that it happens, but he's patient with it. But this level is a different level. The one who is pleased with Allah's decree, the calamities that befall him, it's the same to him. Whether the calamity befell him or not, he's still in the same condition. He's pleased with whatever Allah has decreed. So this is the difference between a rida, being pleased with the calamity, and a sabr, merely being patient with it even though you dislike it. And for this reason, the majority of the scholars, the jumhur, they said that a sabr, being patient with the calamities, is wajib, obligatory. And a rida, being pleased with the calamities, is mustahab. Naam. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said here. So, and he just to kind of put it in focus, the Shaykh is saying here that there's a difference between what Allah has decreed and executed. That's Allah's action. We must be pleased with it. As opposed to the resultant occurrence that takes place. And this, he said, it is different categories. If it's an act of obedience to Allah, we must be pleased with it. If it's an act of disobedience to Allah, we must not be pleased with it. It's haram to be pleased with it. And if it's a calamity, then it's mustahab to be pleased with it. However, if a person is not pleased with it, they must at least, wajib, they must be patient with it. At least, be patient with it. The second fatwa, in which the Shaykh goes into some further details than he went into here, concerning the same issue pretty much, the hukum concerning being displeased when a calamity befalls someone. And this fatwa was also given by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Yani the questioner asks about being displeased, yani expressing displeasure and anger about yani the calamity that befalls someone. The Shaykh said the people's condition at the time of the befalling of a calamity are on four levels. Yani the conditions of the people at the time of the calamity befalling them are on four levels. The first level is a tasakhut, wa huwa ala anwa. The first level is that the person is displeased with what Allah has decreed. And there are four types of displeasure here. The second level is the sabr, yani that a person is patient with the calamity when it befalls them, even though they don't like it, but they are patient with it. They don't complain. And the third level is ar-rida, that the person is pleased with the musibah, yani from the perspective that it's the same if it occurred or didn't occur. And the fourth level, which the Shaykh didn't mention in the previous level, is ash-shukr, yani being thankful, actually being grateful for the calamity that has befallen. And this is a very high level. So, the details, the Shaykh says, the people at the time of a calamity befalling them on four levels. The first level is being displeased with Allah's, with the calamity that has befallen them. Being displeased with the calamity that has befallen them. And this is, he said there are four types of displeasure here. The first type is that which is in the heart. Yani the displeasure that's in the heart. That the person is displeased with their Rabb. And they are angered and enraged from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for them. Calamity befalls them, they are angered that Allah has decreed this. They are angry, they are enraged, they are displeased with what Allah has decreed for them. This condition of having anger and displeasure in the heart for Allah's decree, this is haram. And it might even lead to kufr. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 11th Ayah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ عَلَى حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرًا اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٍ إِنْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That from amongst the people are those who worship Allah on the edge, yani ready to fall off, a narrow edge. Meaning that they are on the tip of going one way or the other. If good comes to them, they are content with it. So they remain on one side. But if a fitna, a trial, a tribulation befalls them, then they turn over on their face. They go to the other side. They have lost in this world and in the akhirah. They are losers in the dunya and in the akhirah. So the first division of being displeased with Allah's decree is those who have displeasure in their heart for what Allah has decreed, that's haram. The second division is the displeasure that's expressed on the tongue, al-lisan, like making dua for destruction or death. Yani a calamity befalls a person, they say, Allah, take me out of here, I don't want to live anymore, something like this. And whatever is similar to that. The Shaykh says that this kind of displeasure expressed on the tongue is haram. It's haram to say these things. And the third type of displeasure is that which occurs on the limbs of the body, like slapping the cheeks and tearing the clothing and pulling one's hair out and what is similar to this. All of this is also haram. This type of displeasure in the actions of the human being is also haram. And it negates the obligatory patient. And it nullifies the obligation of being patient is nullified by this type of behavior. So this is the first, yani division of the people, those who are displeased. The displeasure that's expressed in the heart, expressed on the tongue, or expressed by actions. All of this is haram. Except that the displeasure in the heart might lead to kufr. The second level, al-martaba al-thaniya, the second level of the people, in reference to calamities when it befalls them, is a sabr. And it is like the poet said, وَالصَّبْرْ مِثْلَ إِسْمِهِ مُرٌّ مَذَاقَتِهِ وَلَكِنْ أَوَاقِبُهُ أَهْلَ مِنَ الْعَسَلِ. The patience is like its name. Sabr, it's bitter. Patience is like its name. It's bitter in taste. However, the end result of being patient is sweeter than honey. Yani being patient at the time of a calamity is bitter. It's difficult. It's hard. But the end result of the one who is patient, the end result, the reward of Allah is sweeter than honey. So the person, yani on this level of being patient with Allah, the calamities that Allah has decreed, the person, yani you see that he sees that this thing is difficult upon him. However, he bears it patiently. He dislikes the fact that it occurred, but his iman prevents him from expressing displeasure about it. Yeah, he doesn't like it, but he doesn't complain. So with him, its occurrence or non-occurrence is not the same. Yeah, and he would be more happy that it didn't occur, but it did occur, so he's patient with it. It's not the same to him if it occurs or doesn't occur. It's not the same. He finds it difficult, but he has enough iman to prevent him from expressing displeasure in the heart, on the tongue, or in the limbs of the body. And this is wajib, obligatory, to be patient with the calamity. And this is because Allah Ta'ala has commanded the people with patience. And he said in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 46th Ayah, وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا الصَّابِرِينَ. And be patient, for indeed Allah is with those who are patient. And this is the second level. The third level, المرتبة الثالثة, is الرِّضَى, being pleased with the calamity that has befallen one. Yani that a person is pleased with the calamity, such that its occurrence or non-occurrence is the same to him. There's no difference. He doesn't find it difficult to bear it. And he doesn't dislike that it occurred. Rather, it's the same to him. It's Allah's decree. Once it occurs, he's good with it, one way or another. If it happened or didn't happen, it's all the same. He doesn't find any difficulty. with the fact that this calamity has befallen him. And he doesn't, yani, bear it with great difficulty. He doesn't find hardship in being patient with it. It's easy for him. And this level of being pleased with Allah's decree when a calamity befalls someone is mustahab. It is not obligatory. It's not obligatory on a person to be pleased with. This is a high level that not everyone can reach. It's mustahab if a person is able to do it, but it's not obligatory. What is obligatory is what? To be patient, at least. As far as being pleased with it, that's a higher level. And this, the Shaykh says, that being that it's mustahab to be pleased with Allah's decree when He decrees a calamity, and that it's not obligatory, said this is the stronger or more correct opinion of the scholars. Yani, there's difference of opinion about this, but this is the more correct opinion. And the difference between the level of being pleased and the previous level that was mentioned is obvious. The difference between them is obvious. Because the musibah, the calamity, in this level of being pleased, or the non-occurrence of that calamity, is the same for the level of the person who is pleased at the time when the calamity befalls him. Yani, the fact that it occurs or doesn't occur is all the same to him. So this is different than the one who in the previous level is patient. Yani, they are patient with it, but they find it difficult. As far as the previous level, the Shaykh says, the musibah, when it occurs, it is sa'aba alayhi, walakin sabra alayhi. Yani, he finds difficulty in bearing it, but he is patient nonetheless. And the last level, and this is what we will stop with, the last level, the Shaykh says, al-martaba al-rabi'a, al-shukr. Yani, the level of being thankful, grateful for the calamity. وَهُوَ أَعْلَى الْمَرَاتِبِ. And this is the highest of the levels, yani, of the people in reference to calamities when it befalls them. The lowest level is that which is mandatory, at least being patient, and the higher level is being pleased with it, and the highest level is being thankful for it, being thankful. And this is that the person is thankful to Allah for the calamity that has befallen them. Person is what? Thankful to Allah for the calamity that has befallen them. And a person lost $100,000 and they're thankful to Allah. This means that a person has a certain understanding and a great level of iman and taqwa. They understand how this actually works. Why Allah decrees a calamity and what is the end result of it. Person understands that, that's different. It's possible. Naam, for the person who really understands that, who has strong iman, for them to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, this is that the person is thankful to Allah for the calamity that has befallen them. Since he knows that this musibah will be a cause for the expiation of his sins. And perhaps it will also be a cause for the increase of his hasanat. And I'll add to this, the Shaykh didn't say it, and the raising of his degrees, his darajat, as is found in some of the hadith. Yani, how can the person be grateful for the calamity when it befalls them? It's because the person knows that the befalling of him, of this calamity, and his being patient with it, and being pleased with it, he knows that this will be a cause, a sabab, for expiation of his sins, and multiplying of his good deeds, and raising of his degrees with Allah. So because he knows that, and understands that, and the level of his iman and taqwa, allows him not only to be pleased, but rather to be thankful to Allah, thanking and praising Allah for the calamity that has befallen. The Shaykh ends this fatwa with this hadith that's reported by Bukhari and Muslim. مَا مِن مُصِيبَةٍ تُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمِ إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَنْهُ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَ يُشَاكَهُ. Yani, that there is no calamity which befalls a Muslim except that it Allah will expiate due to it from him some of his sins. Even if that calamity is just the pricking of a thorn. Even if it's what? Just the pricking of a thorn. Yani, this will be a means of what? Of expiation of some of his sins. And I would just like to add, in closing, a couple of other hadith, similar in meaning, that bring this final level of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into more clarity. Yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported by Aisha in Sahih Muslim, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُصِيبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ حَتَّى شَوْكَتِي تُصِيبُهُ إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهَا حَسَنًا وَحَطَّ عَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيئًا. Yani that there is nothing that befalls the believer, calamity that befalls the believer, even the pricking of a thorn, except that Allah will record for him due to it a good deed. And Allah will remove from him due to it a sin. So the person who understands that good deeds will be written for them as a result of this, and that sins will be removed from them, then certainly it is possible that a person who understands this well will be thankful. Thankful for what? Thankful that Allah is increasing their good deeds. Yani without doing anything, but rather just bearing patiently and being pleased, understanding that this is from the decree of Allah. As a result of that, Allah will write some good deeds for them, and Allah will expiate some of their sins. This is something to be thankful for. And in another hadith that's reported in Sunan of At-Tirmidhi and As-Sahih from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا يَزَالُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْمُؤْمِنَةِ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَمَالِهِ حَتَّى يَلْقَ اللَّهَ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ خَطِيَةٌ. That calamities, afflictions, trials will continue to befall the believing man and the believing woman in their self, in their child, or in their wealth. Yani something will befall you personally, or it will befall your children, or it will befall your wealth. This will continue to afflict the believing man and the believing woman until, as a result of being patient with that, they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani on Yawm al-Qiyamah, without having any sin upon them. Yani imagine a person meeting Allah with no sins. That's not possible, right? It's not possible for a person not to commit sins, but it's possible for those sins to be removed by the calamities that befall you personally and befall your children and befall your wealth, if a person is patient with it. This is something to be thankful for. That a person can meet Allah with no sin, naam. That's something. If a person can understand the magnitude of that, and it's difficult to understand, unless you reflect on the reality that there's no human being except that they commit sins. And those sins could be removed such that a person can meet Allah without any sins upon them. And finally, the hadith that's reported from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the hadith is Hassan, reported by Ibn Hibban in the Mustadrak of Hakim, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَكُونُ لَهُ الْمَنْزِلَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَمَا يُبَلِّغُهَا بِعَمَلٍ فَلَا يَزَالُ اللَّهِ يَبْتَلِيهِ بِمَا يَقْرَى حَتَّى يُبَلِّغَهُ إِيَّاهَا. That indeed a person will have a manzila, a high station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani Allah has decided that this person is going to have a high station with him in Jannah. But he would not be able to reach it by actions. Yani he wasn't able to do the deeds to earn that, yani to justify being given that level, that high station. فَلَا يَزَالُ اللَّهُ يَبْتَلِيهِ بِمَا يَقْرَى. So Allah continues to test and trial him with that which he hates, with that what he dislikes and detests, with difficult trials and tribulations and calamities and afflictions, disasters befalling him. Allah continuously test and trial him with that which he dislikes until he causes him as a result of that to reach that level. As a result of being patient with those continuous, ongoing, non-stop trials and tribulations, Allah causes him, yani that his patience with this will elevate him to that level, the manzila that Allah has decided for him. So again, the person who's tested and tried continuously, and some people might say, why me? Yesterday this happened and today something else. And my child died and my mother is sick and I lost my job. A believer, if Allah continuously tests them and try them and they understand the end result of this, then they would perhaps be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the level that patience with these trials and tribulations will earn them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the end. And we'll stop here, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. Any question?
To be a calamity.
No.
The illness that No. It can be terminal.
No.
It is the irada kol nigo. Is it the will of Allah that this happens?
No.
Because it was, it's a calamity.
No.
And it is...
No, it's irada qawniya. No, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a military to be pleased with, but it's mustahab to
be patient with it.
To be
patient.
No. Although you may hate it.
Yeah, a person may dislike having cancer or whatever, but they have to be patient with it, meaning that they don't complain about it, they don't curse, they don't express doubt in Allah's wisdom, why did Allah decree this for me? They don't say things like that. They understand that if Allah decreed something, it's based upon wisdom and justice. There's no injustice in it.
In a
quality of course, a person's iman, iman is different, but nonetheless, every believer is required to at least be patient, knowing that this is by the decree of Allah, and Allah's decree is based upon wisdom, first of all, and it's based upon justice. There's no injustice involved in it. So a believer has to be patient with this. And even though it's difficult, it's hard, it's heavy burden that they carry, but they don't question Allah's wisdom in decreeing what He has decreed. Now, Tayyib? Okay. So, now. Yeah, go ahead. Ask again. Rephrase it if you like.
No, because,
We say, yes, it's from Allah's irada qawniya, meaning, when the sickness or whatever it is that occurs to the person, when it occurs, this is from the things that, it's not from the things that Allah legislated. Allah didn't put in His sharia that a person gets sick. So that's irada shara'iyya, that what Allah legislates. But as far as anything else, other things from what Allah wills, then we say that's from Allah's irada qawniyya, His universal will, that when He decrees it, it must happen. And it includes that which He's pleased with and that which He is not pleased with. It includes that which He loves and that which He doesn't love. So, sickness, the believer being sick, is not something that's loved by Allah. Allah loves the believer to be sick. Now, but He decrees it for wisdom. And the wisdom is that the believer, if they are patient with that sickness, that will be a means of expiation of their sins. And Allah prefers that the believer, that their sins be expiated in this world, than to punish them in the next life. So when Allah wants good for a servant, He caused, as the Prophet ﷺ said, He caused the calamities to befall them in this world to remove their sins. And when Allah wants shar for people, the kuffar, then He holds back from punishing them in this world, so He gives them the full punishment in the next life. So the believer, this is indeed a mercy from Allah, that Allah allows the calamity before you to expiate your sins, so in the next life you're clean. As opposed to the disbeliever, that Allah waits until Yawmul Qiyamah and gives them the full punishment that they are due.
So, when you do go in front of Allah, these sins that will be,
expiated.
With less sins than you.
You'll go with less sins.
This is a mercy.
That's a mercy from Allah. Hatta, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith we read, a person will be afflicted with calamities, personally, in their children, in their wealth, to the extent, so much calamity will befall them, that they will meet Allah with no sins. Not less sins, with no sins. What more could a person ask for? What more could a person ask for? So if a person understands that, and is aware of that, and knows that, and comprehends what it really means, what this really entails, if a person believes that, then it's possible for a person to reach the level of being thankful to Allah. Now, shouldn't a person be thankful to Allah that Allah has removed all their sins? Is that not a cause for gratitude? Naam. But nonetheless, it is a high level. There's no doubt about it. It's the highest level. It's the highest level. Yeah, the prophets. Naam. The prophets. All of the prophets are thankful to Allah. Naam. All of the prophets. And some of them are on higher levels than others. That's a fact. Naam.
You mean outside of the prophets? Do you mean outside of the prophets?
Well, even inside of the prophets, I'm not being patient. Stories that are read of the prophets have been patient and they accept them. I'm patient, but I never really saw the
You have to examine it carefully. No, you have to examine it carefully, Achi. Because, you know, like sometimes when we read something in the Quran without the tafsir of the Quran, we take the surface meaning of it. And maybe sometimes what we're understanding is a little different than it really means. If you read the story of Ayyub alayhi salam in the Quran without the tafsir, it's not going to have the same meaning. Because when you read the tafsir, you're going to find out something that you're not going to see in the surface meaning of the ayats of the Quran. Very, very different meaning you're going to find. Much more clarity. Read the tafsir and you'll find that it's much more than what you are understanding from just reading the translation or the Arabic ayats. It's going to be different for sure. Because the story of Ayyub is a special story. I mean, from amongst the things that came in the story of Ayyub that's very clear, alayhi salam, is that even when he was being tried with all the trials, his wife said to him, ask Allah to relieve you from this. But he said, no, how can I ask Allah to relieve me from this? When Allah gave me all of these years of blessings and His favor, at least minimum, I have to wait until I suffer calamities equal to that. At least that. What is that? I mean, what does that mean? A person is in a position where they are actually able to ask Allah to relieve me from this. And so I'm not going to ask to be relieved from this. There's no way. I'm going to just bear this patiently and accept it. No? That's for sure. Shyness in front of Allah. That a person feels something. You don't just approach Allah any kind of way. Especially if you understand that this is Allah's decree. Allah has decreed this. So, you know, if you understand, and of course, yani it's easy, theoretically, yani philosophically, yani academically, it's easy for a person to comprehend the matter. But to live it, to act upon it, is a different matter altogether. No. But it starts, though, with understanding it. If a person understands it, then it's possible to act upon it. If a person doesn't understand it, it's not possible to act upon it. So the possibility of being pleased with what Allah has decreed or being thankful starts with first understanding. How can a person be pleased? Why should a person be pleased? And if a person understands this, then it is possible. If a person has that level of iman, it's possible to be pleased with what Allah has decreed, even when it is something that people generally dislike. It's possible that a person could be pleased with it, meaning that its occurrence or non-occurrence is the same to them. It's the same to them. They don't feel a heavy burden. Rather, it may be even higher than that, in that they really actually think about and reflect upon the end result of their patience with this, and that is that yani it will increase their good deeds and decrease or eliminate their sins.